All right, so we're back on fleshly parents or biblical parents, part two. Ready? Your children are from God, and they are likened unto slaves. They have no will of their own. Do they get to play with razor blades? Do they get to eat candy? Do they get to run in traffic? Do they get to beat each other with hammers that dad has laying around? No, they don't get their own will unless they're obeying. Look what it says here, Galatians 4, 1 through 3. Brother Paul from the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, the New Testament. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of it all, but under tutors and governors until the time appointed to the father. I get it. The context is a little different there, but your children don't drive a car, do they? Your children can't get married. Your children aren't allowed to corporately punish each other. Children have no will of their own. They are your slaves under your total control until they get to be of age when they can handle it and it's proper to do so. They don't get a will till they're of age, and they're to use it rightly for God's glory then. Scripture says this about leaders in the body. They're to be examples, and we're all supposed to be following their example. How? Ruling over their children. When was the last time somebody taught you to rule over your children in total control as parents? You ready? They're to be under subjection with all gravity. 1 Timothy 3:4. Talking about leaders. And one that ruleth his house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Subjection means total obedience. Gravity, it means reverence. Like we fear God, your children should fear you, parents. Especially dad. Mom, you need to be backing him up. We're to rule them. 1 Timothy 3:12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Go look up what that word ruling means. I won't even cover that right now. There's a homework assignment for you. You're to rule your children. They're not to be unruly ever at home or in public. Titus 1:6. And if any be blameless, this is about leaders again, but we all should be examples. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Men, you want to be teachers, you want to be leaders, you want to be out in the street telling people, repent, you better get things right. Your house better be in order, or they're going to be looking at you like, what a hypocrite you are. Yeah, that's a fact. We got to remember that, men, me included. Now, Jesus, our master, used good Bible sense to show us love for little ones, and we're to give good, needed physical things. I get it, but not fleshly indulgence. I like this verse. Luke 11:11-13. If a son shall ask of bread of any one of you that's a father, he gives him a stone. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask of an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You see how those are needed physical things, food, right? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice the context there. Not toys, not fleshly indulgence, not play. Needed things. Food, bread, an egg, a fish. I want to eat. I'm hungry, Dad. So Jesus even tells us children should be given things in proper order. Back to children being idols, that they often are. Did you know that we're to hate our children, per Jesus, if need be, in the right context? Luke 14:26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we literally hate them like we hate them. It means we better love God and Christ way, way more than we love our wives, our children, and our brethren. Otherwise, we're idolaters. Which means one day, well, we'll talk about that right here. Children can turn on you. Did you know your children might become your enemy one day? It's a great possibility. Jesus warns us. Mark 13:12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That's from the words of our master and our Savior. Get your children in the right context. They're cute and cuddly now. They may be wicked workers one day. Just like Jesus, not just like, but an example, Jesus was a cute little baby in a manger one time. He's coming back as the flaming, fiery Lion of Judah. The wrath of the Lamb is coming. So watch out. Your children are not going to be the same when they're little as when they're adults, unless you train them properly and they become the elect of God. What next here? I got another verse for you. We may be expected to leave children for him under what, the right context. Mark 10:29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. So I get it, in the right context, you're not going to abandon little infants, but in the right context, you better be ready to put your children in the right place versus God in eternity and on high. Now, we do have a great hope for them. I don't want to be all negative. The goal should be strong children in the Lord, like Jesus was in the temple at about age 12, I take it, or like John was, John the Baptist, as a small child. Luke 1:80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and he was in the deserts till the day of his showing up unto Israel. John was being trained up to be used greatly of God. I get it. He's a rare example. What do you want to train your children up for? Play? Fleshly ways? Leading mom and dad around by the nose? Or godly, focused on the things of God, ready to grow up, repent and obey Christ and do ministry one day? You decide, parents. We're here to help you if it's the godly way. Now, in my next scripture, it mentions children and cattle. Now, here they're going to say, oh, you're really taking this out of context. Children are a possession. First of all, let me say this. Let me correct that. Children are the Lord's. They're your possession while they're little to train them up. They are. They're your possession. You sit, you stand, you walk, you eat, you sleep. You talk now, you don't talk now. They're your possession. This verse kind of talks about it in inspired scripture. John 4:12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Back then, children, possessions, and animals were considered on a little different level than the men of the house. I'm not saying children are like animals, but they're definitely your possession in the Lord, but they are the Lord's. Get that right and in context. Don't lift them up above you. Men, don't lift your children above the wife. Wife, don't you lift those children above your husband. Don't you dare let them get close to the things of God or God himself. Actually, you want them close to the things of God. You don't want them to get close to God himself in your heart, was my intent there. God himself gets a place that no one gets close to. I'm glad I corrected that. So we know children are to be a joy, but it's in the Lord and ruling over them, not in the flesh. I think I've shown that in scripture pretty clear. We rule them, we teach them, we train them. They're to be obedient. They're to fear parents and punishment. Beat them with a rod. Beat the flesh out of them. That doesn't mean you abuse them and make them bleed and break bones. It means you're consistently teaching them they don't get their will. And it's painful when they try to break your will. It's your will against their will, parents. Remember that. So, I have a question for you, another question. Is there anything of the Lord's eternal instructions that are fleshly to us? I don't think so. John 16:21. And the woman, when she's in travail, hath have sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For the joy of a man is born unto the world. So we get it. Children are joyful, and it's a gift of God. We're not taking that away. But we don't continue in the flesh with them. You know what it's a lot like? It's a lot like the birth of a child, then quickly moving them on to training in the Lord. It's a lot like Jesus, the birth of the Savior into the world. He quickly trained up to be a man of God. He quickly became our Savior. He's now the fiery Lion of Judah coming back. You don't want your children to remain children. You want to move them on in the admonition of the Lord and training. It takes all the things I'm telling you, getting the flesh out, parents, getting in spirit, truth, discipline, order, control in all things. If you want to please God, teach them, train them, guide them, order them, yeah, beat them to obey. Colossians 3:20. I read this already. I'll read it again. Children, obey your parents in all things. Does it say some things? All things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Child, you sit there and be quiet. That's pleasing to God when they do it. If you don't make them do it, you're not pleasing God. You're ruled by the child. I don't want that for you. We're to fill them up with scripture, not fun, freedom, foolishness, and flesh, even at small ages. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There's the goal, parents. Teach them scripture. If you do have games with them, I encourage you, make it Bible games. Make it Bible related. Make it Bible training. Too much playing with toys outside of the things of God is idleness. Teach them about the things of God, even in their play when they're small. All right? We're to be obedient children to God, so our children should be obedient to us and trained in that way. 1 Peter 1:14, Peter says, we, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. Yeah, I know that's about us as children of God. Train your children to not operate in that way at all. I don't need to remind any of you that listen to the teachings at don'tperish.com. God hates partiality. Go look up. I have teachings on it. Don't be partial to your children. Don't lift them up and give them more flesh than you give anyone else on earth. You shouldn't be giving anyone a lot of flesh other than your husband and your wife. Husbands and wives are allowed to indulge in a lot of flesh. They get to come together. Sexual relations is awesome. They get to love. They get to hug. They get to kiss. They get to hold hands. This is a lifelong bond. Children, yeah, you can do some hand-holding, hugging, kissing. I get it. Be careful. As they start getting older, I think you need to start breaking that so they understand the limits. I even believe, and this is a whole other topic, maybe Brother Zealous will take this on, you should start watching what age they sit in your lap. Because this starts becoming too fleshly and too much connection. But that's kind of another whole topic. God hates partiality. Remember that. All right, I'm gonna strike a blow here with everybody to show you how you shouldn't have a wrong, partial eye of your children today. In the New Testament, most everybody who's a biblical saint knows that Jesus took the Old Testament and elevated the laws. Guess what they did in the Old Testament with their children? Deuteronomy 21, 18 and 21. These weren't fleshly parents that obeyed this. If any man have a stubborn, rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, notice both, and that they, when they have chastised him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and mother lay hold of him. That's a physical grab. Bring him unto the city, elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. That's so everybody could see what's happening. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, our son is stubborn, rebellious, he'll not obey our voice, he's a glutton, he's a drunkard. Okay, he's in sin. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he will die. So shall thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I want to be clear. We don't stone our children today. That was Torah law. But guess what? It's elevated. If they stoned their children back then, how much more should you be punishing your children today to get them in order so you don't even have to need to worry about that? Because you have the Spirit in you. You have the completed Word of God in you. You should be controlling those children and ordering them biblically. They fear you, ready to hand them off to God. I hope you hear that in my voice. This is a serious matter. It has deep, deep connotations for your faith walk and your children's future as well. Have you ever thought about this and do you realize this? Your little children, I don't care if they're 6 months, three months, 3 years, 5 years, when they throw fleshly fits, maybe not the six-month-old, he doesn't know much yet, but as soon as they can understand verbal commands, when they throw fleshly fits and they disobey you, they're in sin. Did you know that? They don't have to have the knowledge of sin. They're in sin. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy mother and thy father, and that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I know, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, that's children that know better. I get it. The age of consent, it really kicks in much, much more. But it still dishonors the Lord if you allow your children to rebel and be in their flesh. Because you're responsible for your children. I'm going to go so far as to say, if you got bratty children, you must have bratty fleshly ways inside you. You're allowing them to do it. You know why? What if you see a child that's a glutton and is 100 pounds overweight at 6 years old? Don't you look at that child and go, the parent must really have gluttonous ways to let them get like that. Yeah, think about that with your children's behavior. It's really important. Are you going to condone sin in any way, parents, from any age in your house? I'm going to give you more scripture. We're not done. Paul calls out disobedience. Again, I know this is for people that know better, but it's disobedience nonetheless. Romans 1, 29 through 30. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. What a bad crowd here. Haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Your children are on the way to that if you let them disobey you. That's why I bring that up. And how about this verse from Brother Paul? 2 Timothy 3:2. For men in the last days shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I'll do this out of order. Unthankful, unholy, and in the middle he said, disobedient to parents. You're training your children to be in this group that are going to be judged into eternal fire. If you let them be fleshly and walk all over you, they're going to walk all over God one day. They're going to trample the blood of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10:26 says there's no sacrifice for them if they willfully do it. I don't want that for your children. So we covered a lot of scripture. I think it's clear how children are to be raised. Somebody, men, you got to email me, call me, text me to correct me. Here we go. Not in the flesh. Some physical love and attention and affection. Total control at all times. Far more training, discipline, correction, instruction, beatings that don't cause injury to a healthy fear of their parents. And I want that for all of you listening in. I want to offer as well our opinion coming up. Sister Emma and I talked about this. There could be probably 50, but I'm going to do the three most common things we see lacking in parents, even Bible parents, Bible-believing parents, that are greatly lacking. Ready? Number one, too fleshly in their daily life. We covered a lot of it. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yeah, we see way too much spoiling. What is spoiling? You let them get their way at any time of the day. Let me ask you a question. If you don't think it's spoiling them to let them get their way one time with you, what if you let them tell one lie? Are they a liar? What if you let them steal one pack of gum? Are they a thief? What if you let them disobey one time? They're spoiled. They're disobedient. Remember that, parents. Too much hugs, too much fleshly love and affection. It's lopsided, especially when they're misbehaving. Too much freedom on their own to do their own will in the house. Children running around, moving around, grabbing things, climbing on things, beating on things, carrying things they shouldn't. This is not of God. This is not orderly. When you lack on rules and order in the home and in the public, some parents do that, not nearly enough control is being doled out. You need to be heavy-handed. You need to punish them with stern words, a firm grab, a warning, then swift corporal punishment, ordering them to obey, lest you cause flesh and sin and a bad witness in your house. Our God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It doesn't tell us at all to be fleshly in our love. It tells us to rule, control, and discipline them with a rod. That's godly love. God does that to us. He might not beat us with a rod, but he does chastise us in many other ways. So ponder that. Next, not consistent control always and everywhere. We see this a lot. Parents, some of them, are better out in the public when everybody's watching, but then when they get home, they let their guard down, and the children are allowed to move around, touch things, grab things, do whatever they want in the house. I have a question. If you let your kids run around, do anything they want in the house at a little age, how are they ever going to sit still when you're in a marketplace witnessing, you're in a McDonald's, and you say, sit, listen. Listen to parents. Listen to conversations with other men around you. That's what they should be learning. Then here's a coloring book you can play and color the Bible characters. Here's a Bible puzzle. Play and see Noah and the animals come together. I encourage you to make playtime about God. Okay, it's very important. But too much not order in the home. Children should never be allowed to move a lot, run around a lot freely. In walking places, they should have designated areas. They should sit quietly at a table. They should get one thing to play with. They should be put away in a designated play area to play quietly. That's another thing, quiet children. Yelling out, screaming, yelling, even laughing out loud uncontrollably. It's good for your children to be joyful. Teach them to be orderly. Do adults laugh out loud uncontrollably for no reason? No. Teach them to be orderly. tickling and all this stuff needs to go by the wayside. This is fleshly foolishness. Do we tickle each other, brothers and sisters? I sure hope not. I don't tickle my brothers. I don't want to tickle their ears with the false things of God, false, unbiblical ways of God. I want to give them sound doctrine. Children are to have no will of their own in the house. Rule them. I just gave you the verses. They get no freedom till parents say so. Hey, you've been good. You get a coloring book now. That's how it needs to be done. You want ruled order in the home. Lock them down with no will whatsoever. You don't leave them home alone to walk around. I say you don't even leave them in a room alone unless they're ordered. You are giving them occasion to go out of order, to find things to get in trouble with, to say it's okay for me to just run around, grab what I want, move around. All this moving around and fleshly activity, it's not of God. You should be ordered and controlled. They should be sitting, ready? When they're 5 and 6, by then they should be listening to men witnessing, listening to men talk scripture, listening to Bible verses. That starts at 2 and 3. It does, men, brothers. Work on that. The next one, the third one, no real fear of parents. This is like the biggest one. This is huge. We're to fear God. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You must teach your children to fear you. Then one day they will submit and fear God. Fear. You should be able to look at your children with a finger down at them and say, knock it off or else. If they don't look at you and go, physical pain coming, I better behave, your children are playing you. Your children rule you. Okay? That's not honoring to God. You're not training them up to be handed off to Christ one day when they're well able to accept the gospel. Moms and dads, godly brothers and sisters, you should be using teaching, home rules, order, warnings, stern discipline, a physical grab. No, you don't shake them and hurt their neck. You grab their shoulders, get attention, and say, knock it off. Let them see firmness, bold, righteous anger in you. I see a lot of parents, this is big in the Anabaptist world, no righteous anger for their children. Johnny, didn't I tell you not to do that after 6 warnings or 1 or 2? No, they need more than that. They need to be sternly told, and then they need a hand slap, then they need a butt whooping. Do that a few times, you get their attention, moms and dads. Looks of displeasure, and then a beating to rule them. Break their will. That is the goal. I see parents, even ones that do physical discipline on children, they still lack fear and respect from their children. I think this is due to a lot of things. I think they're soft even in the beatings. I think they're not consistent. I think they're fleshly hugging them right after when they're crying a little bit. Let them cry. They're not going to die. Allowing them too much leeway. I'm going to do this if. You better not. You better stop. Punishment should be swift. They know swift punishment. That brings fear of dad and mom. It's a huge mistake against Scripture if your children do not fear you. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Your children should work out their relationship with mom and dad with fear and trembling. And if you think that's stern and you think that's wrong, men, you call me. I want you to prove me wrong in the Word of God. I challenge you in that. I don't think you can. We also see parents, this is the last point I think I had. If I said 3, I think I had 4. We also see parents that want to be friends with their children. We see fun friends playing around, a lot of fleshly attention versus ruling them, total order, control, fear of parents for their eternal soul to come, for the saving of their soul and eternal life to come when they're ready to receive the gospel. I know, I get it. It's a lot easier to play with your kids. And they live, you know, they live all fleshly and you live fleshly with them and let them go do this and that and get away with this and that. And you're keeping them within the bounds. No, you don't keep them within bounds. You keep them on a tight, tight rule. They only get bounds when they're old enough to know the difference. And you beat them when they go outside of that, when they won't listen to you with a couple warnings. That's what God's word teaches. You want to know why your house isn't in order? You want to know why your children don't fear you? You want to know why maybe your wife doesn't respect you? You don't beat your children, men, the way you should, and have a stern hand. And maybe you don't tell her, you better be more stern with the kids. Because then I'm going to have issue with you too, wife. Because she's to obey her husband so he can have order in his house. Because quite honestly, wives should be watch out. They want their husbands doing ministry. They want to do ministry. Their house better be in order. Otherwise, they're hypocrites and they can't go forth and do ministry. So there's many more issues why children are out of control. I'm not going to cover all those here. Someday we'll probably do some more teachings. I think my brother Zelos on his website, followgospel.com, is going to have a lot more on children. Why? He has young children. He's still of childbearing age. If the Lord opens a womb, they're going to have more children probably. That's going to be his part. We're going to add into it as we go. But in closing out on this teaching, I think we've gone on pretty far here, but I think it was worthy. Biblical parenting is a healthy balance of way more stern order, rules, Bible training, seriousness, fear of parents, discipline, and physical beatings, not to harm them or make them bleed, with some flesh and affection when properly done. Again, I want to say it. When was the last time God came down and played with you? When was the last time he hugged you? When was the last time God did a bunch of fleshly things with you? God doesn't work that way. God loves us via his word, via the spirit, via godly instruction, via chastisement. And guess what? Men in the body do bring the rule and the rod of correction. Paul talked about it. Shall I bring a rod? Now, he didn't beat adults, but he did put people out quickly. I'll come and take care of it, Paul said. So the leaders in the body are told to dole out punishment so that other people can be ashamed. We just recently had a sit down with a young man. He's not in our body. He said he wanted to be. I had to rebuke him and send him off in front of all of us to rule over him. He was ashamed of that. He didn't like it one bit. It was the authority. It was the rod that had to be brought to him. I could have just let him go easy. Nobody would respect me. Nobody would respect God's order. We certainly wouldn't be fearing God, and we wouldn't be biblical if we let that happen. So, Dad, you got to take the rod, and you got to rule your house for God's glory, because his glory is on the line here. You want to be a biblical parent? You want to be a fleshly parent? That's the topic of this teaching. Your children, like all of us saints, brothers and sisters, are going to have to answer and face and submit to God's truth one day. Ephesians 5:6, a couple more verses and we're done. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I get it. That means children that have the will. That's us, people. But your children can be disobedient as well. Watch out there. You want to beat that out of them, instruct it out of them, teach it out of them, example it out of them. Here's the end goal, brothers and sisters, saints, parents. Please God and help your children one day become a child of God. 3 John 1:3-4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of this truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. This is the goal, parents, that your children submit to you, that they fear you, that they're in full order, that they look to ask you to do anything. I have a question. Do you not look to the word of God before you do things? What things of God do you just do haphazardly? I sure hope nothing. What should your children do haphazardly without looking to you for okay, approval, and permission? Sister Amin and I, as I said, she's been listening here. She always listens to my teachings, but we're going to have a separate audio and we're going to discuss this. I want her godly woman, mother, grandmother input on this teaching so we get a mom's viewpoint. So nobody says, oh, you're just a mean street preacher ready to beat every kid with a rod. Really? I'm going to let you hear it from a godly wife. And she's raised children and she has a much, much less stern hand than me when it comes to, as a woman, when it comes to the things of God, although she can be bold and stern as well, as you know, listening to some of her audios when she witnesses to women and such. But I want her involved in this, so we're going to have a separate audio. So I hope this teaching blessed you. I hope it woke you up, parents, brothers, sisters. Test me to the word of God. You men that say I'm crazy, even my enemies, I'll challenge you. Email me. I'd love to see it in God's word where we're supposed to coddle children, fleshly, indulge them. These people out there, I won't mention their name, these wicked people out there teaching, oh, give children all the attention they want and let them do what they want. Let them explore the world and let them explore their boundaries and do all this stuff. No, the Bible says rule them. That means you tell them where to go, what to do, how to do it, all to your approval under the correction of God's holy word. That's my teaching for you today. Again, check out my brother Zelos' website. He's going to have a lot more to come in the days of for children under followgospel.com. That's his website under the children tab. As he's learning, as he's training, him and his wife are doing a great job with their children. Praise God for parents that care about teaching children. But it must be done this way. It's not my way. This is the Lord's way. There's a way that seems right to a man, I'm going to say, to a mom and dad, but it leads to death. God's ways lead to eternal life and righteousness. We love you all. Thanks for listening. Till next time, may God be praised.